Fighting for America.
Education is the civil rights issue of this century.
This is my passion. Kids are future, absolutely. And I think I'm expressing that on behalf of every educator in the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're trying to educate kids the very best we can. I know that's top priority. It's tough to do that when you don't have the funds.
Fighting for you.
We are very appreciative of KIDO Radio coming to our schools and giving us a chance to visit with you and promote the good things that we do at this.
Boise's Mr. Right.
First lesson of today.
X plus Y is equals Z or something like that.
Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We're joined now by the Attorney General of the great state of Idaho, Lawrence Wasdin, with us. Mr. Wasdin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Your thoughts on what happened and, your thoughts on what happened with the judge's ruling last night, sir?
Well, not totally unexpected. We've taken the night to try and analyze the case. Of course, it's 57 pages long. It takes a little while to do that. The effect of this order is not going to occur until Friday morning. We will be filing a motion for stay and also pursuing an appeal. So that's kind of where we're headed. And in terms of what we expect, we're going to just continue to pursue this, as is my duty as the Attorney General, to uphold the Constitution and defend the Constitution in court, and that's what we're going to do.
Are you surprised by the amount of federal challenges that we've seen, not only in Idaho but in other states, in response to these legally, constitutionally passed amendments?
Actually, if you think back for a minute or two, at the same time the court was the U.S. Supreme Court was considering the Windsor case, the DOMA case, there was also the case on Proposition 8 that was in front of the United States Supreme Court. And one of the things that happened in that case was that the California Attorney General decided not to defend the state's constitution. Had the California Attorney General done that job, and that is actually fulfilled the oath of defending their state constitution, the court would have been able to answer that question. Instead, what the court said is no one has standing, therefore essentially punting the case. That's why it's really important that as the Attorney General, you stand up. Whether you agree personally or disagree personally isn't the issue. The issue is I have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. I'm obligated to defend it, and that's what I will do. And so that's my position. I disagree with my colleagues on that point.
As a lawyer, a legal scholar, as the Attorney General, historically, did you find it fascinating that both in DOMA, where the administration didn't defend it, and in Prop 8, the Attorney General didn't defend it? It doesn't matter if you agree with the law. Your duty is to defend the law.
That was quite startling to me. And, in fact, I was present about a month or so ago in D.C. at a meeting with the National Association of Attorneys General. And Eric Holder came, and he said on this point, he said, State Attorney General, if you don't like your Constitution, you can just ignore it. And I reject that notion. It is entirely inconsistent with what's known as the rule of law. That is, we're all bound by the same laws. I'm obligated to uphold that. The people have made this decision. It doesn't matter whether it's my policy choice or not. I'm obligated to uphold it, and that's precisely what I'm going to do.
That's a dangerous precedent when you have the U.S. Attorney General saying that if you don't agree with the law and you're the Attorney General, you don't have to defend it. You can punt. Back to your case here that happened yesterday concerning the Idaho's constitutional amendment defining marriage between a man and a woman. If the Supreme Court had done its job, this case would be decided one way or the other.
Exactly. That was my point.
Right.
Is that had the Attorney General of California done the job that they were called on to do, that they took an oath to do, the court would have answered that question directly, and we would have had an answer. One way or the other, we would have had an answer.
What's your make on the 14th Amendment argument? Because, and again, you delve in this. Most of us watch Law and Order and a little Nancy Grace here and there, and that's our legal training. So we're grateful that we have you here to explain the 14th Amendment out, because that seems to be what the federal judges and the plaintiffs are arguing and was predicted when you had the Prop 8 and the DOMA case.
that really kind of fits in this way. And there's the 10th Amendment says that there are certain powers that are granted to the federal government. Now, I for lack of a better term, I call that the federal bucket. It also then says that there are certain powers that are denied to the states, and then says the other powers are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And that I call the state bucket, state and people bucket. So the real question here is, which bucket does this fit into? And with regard to the Windsor case, it said essentially that this is an area traditionally where the states have power to define what marriage is. So the question being posed now is, does this fall clearly in that state bucket, or does it bleed over into the federal bucket? And that's where the 14th Amendment comes in, and the concept of equal protection and due process. And the court has said, yes, the states can define, except that you can't offend equal protection and due process. That's where that rub comes to. And the question then is, what's the level of scrutiny that is applied under equal protection? The Ninth Circuit has said a heightened level of scrutiny. So that's the kind of the arena in which we then operate.
Were you surprised at the judge's decision saying that Idaho law discriminates financially, emotionally, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, you are behind this. You've argued it. You're going to continue to fight for it. Idaho's marriage law. Were you surprised at her decision, the wording of it?
I don't know that we're ever really surprised a great deal by that. I mean, that was sort of within the realm of possibilities. That's the kind of thing you take, you read, you review, you study, and you try and make sure that your next actions fit within the mold that is then created. And that's part of how you decide how you appeal and how you make a motion for stay, which is what we're in the process of doing. So you just kind of take those punches, you roll with them, and you move forward.
If there was a silver lining, is that the judge decided to give you till Friday to avoid what happened in Utah.
Yes, and I think very respectful of the judge in that regard. And, in fact, you recall in some of those cases, the district court denied the motion for stay. It was denied at the circuit level. And then the United States Supreme Court unanimously said, no, you do need to stay. It's a special respect in a dual sovereign system that the federal government, the federal court, should have for the state. The people in their elective processes amended their constitution, and there should be some measure of respect. Ultimately, however, the United States Supreme Court is going to have to answer this question.
The Attorney General with us, Lawrence Wasdin, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk about the campaign. Your thoughts, your views. Why should you be reelected?
There are five things that I started out to do: firm and fair criminal prosecution, to protect Idaho's water and sovereignty, to protect Idaho consumers from fraud, to ensure that with the use of endowment lands that we obtain the maximum long-term financial return as required by the Constitution, and to ensure justice for all Idahoans. And that's what I've done. There's some unfinished business. So would like to continue working on the same-sex marriage case, as we're doing currently. Also to continue to protect children from internet predators, and also with the newly passed what we call the Rice Bill, which enlarges the powers of the Attorney General to investigate elected county officials upon complaint. And so that's an area where we would like to continue to do some work.
Lawrence Wasdin with us here. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. There's been a lot of charges, countercharges. What do you say to your critics that say it's time for a change? You're answering this on the trail. You've answered it in debates. You're answering it here. Why stay the course? And I know you've just answered that. You're achieving it. You know, we asked the governor, three terms. Well, we're tough financial times. I want to make it to the next dawn, if you will. Why for you, sir?
Well, in Idaho, we don't have statutory term limits. We actually call it elections, and so the people have a right to choose. I think having an opportunity to do some good things and have the voters say yes, continue doing that, is a healthy thing for our system. Allowing the voters the ability to make that choice, and I'm putting myself out there and saying, hey, I'm here. The Republican Party platform says we don't believe in term limits, and if we don't, then here I am, and I'm offering myself to continue my service with the people of this state.
What was it like to be involved in the health exchange lawsuit, to be the first to file?
Well, you know, we had had a number of meetings with attorneys general prior, as that bill was kind of going through and in the midnight hours and all that sort of thing. So we were very prepared when the president put his signature on that bill. We filed immediately, and we filed simultaneously in Florida, in a district court in Florida. We chose not to have it in the Ninth Circuit, among other things.
Yes. But well, now your appeal is going to the Ninth Circuit, right?
Well, the appeal on the same-sex marriage case will, but that's because we're in the Ninth Circuit. But in the Affordable Care Act case, we wanted to be outside the Ninth Circuit, among other things. Went to Florida and pursued that case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. In fact, I have a card in my possession. It's card number 13 that was issued to me when I went to the lawyer's lounge to listen live to the arguments in front of the United States Supreme Court. When the courtroom gets filled, if you're a member of the U.S. Supreme Court bar, you can go to the lawyer's lounge, and then they give you a card. And if enough people leave the courtroom, then you get to go into the courtroom and listen.
Right.
But I was there live to listen in the lawyer's lounge, and I saved that as sort of a historical memento.
Is that a video feed?
It's not a video feed.
Right,
it's an audio feed.
Right. Yeah.
So it's radio, you know?
Right. They're very particular about that at the Supreme Court. So even the lawyer's lounge doesn't have a video feed.
No. No, it's just audio.
So we have that decision. I'm sure you disagreed with their decision on the health exchange, the Health Act.
Yes. It's not just the exchange, but it's the Affordable Care Act. It's the entire what we call Obamacare. And I do disagree with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Out of one side of his mouth, he says, well, this is not a tax for purposes of the Tax Anti-Injunction Act. In the very same breath, however, he says, but this is a tax. And the point that we were making is that Congress had said, and the President said, this is an exercise of Commerce Clause power. And we said, you can't, under the Commerce Clause, compel people to participate in commerce. And the court ultimately agreed with us. A majority of the court said, you are right. This would not be a proper exercise of Commerce Clause power. The Chief Justice went on to say, well, but this is an exercise of taxing clause power, which is contrary to the very things that Congress itself had said. So I disagree with the Chief Justice. However, the Chief Justice has a title. His title is Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And I have a title. Mine is Idaho Attorney General, and his trumps mine when it comes to pronouncing what the law is.
Well, maybe in Washington. I don't know about Idaho. I guess. 580-KIDO, Lawrence Wasden with us, the Attorney General, as we continue on. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, final moments. Back to this issue, how is this going to play out? It'll go to the, my words, not yours, sir, the progressive liberal Ninth Circuit. What do you expect it out of there? And, you know, can we avoid what happened in Utah?
Well, you know, we'll just have to see what the Ninth Circuit does. I agree with you that the Ninth Circuit has a more liberal bent, that it is reversed more often than any other circuit in the country. We'll just have to see what happens. It depends on the panel. I think that certain members of the Ninth Circuit have already spoken on this issue, so we kind of know what to expect. Ultimately, the United States Supreme Court's going to have to answer this question.
If they rule not in the favor of Idaho, can you get another stay until it goes to the Supreme Court? I think Utah is doing that or trying to do that.
Yeah, that's the process. I can't predict at this point what will happen,
right?
But certainly that's the process we would use.
Your thoughts as a member of the bar on the Supreme Court, a lot of decisions 5-4 historically. How do you think this court will be remembered, and that once a new member comes in, it will, regardless of who it is, it'll radically change the direction?
It has the potential to change the direction, depending on the person. You've got kind of a 4-4 with a one floater, and that floater isn't always the same person.
Could be the chief sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And so it really depends on the timing of replacements, and it will have a dynamic impact on the character of the court. So we'll just have to watch and see. That's how the game gets played. We'll see what happens.
We have a question from Jim. Your thoughts on the Second Amendment.
Excellent. And I'd really love the opportunity to clarify that, because in my race, I'm the only candidate that has been endorsed by the NRA. There's a lot of talk out there. You know, 8 years ago, someone in my office mistakenly put us on a brief in a case called Patterson. It was a companion case to Heller. and we were on the wrong side. I found out about that and then immediately talked to my folks and said, get us off that brief. And within 48 hours, we were removed from that brief. So there's the claim, you know, that I don't believe that the Second Amendment is an individual right. That's just totally untrue. I supported Heller in the United States Supreme Court. In fact, I have had a conversation with Mr. Heller.
And Heller's making the rounds.
He is making the rounds. I had a conversation with him last night. And I have consistently supported the Second Amendment as an individual right, the NRA, McDonald versus City of Chicago, and also we were in an amicus effort in NRA versus the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I have consistently done that. I have been I have an A rating with the NRA, and I am the only candidate in this race that has been endorsed by the NRA. In fact, I was invited a couple of weeks ago to attend the NRA Charlton Heston dinner. In order to be at the Charlton Heston dinner, you have to contribute $1 million to the NRA. And I didn't contribute $1 million.
That was the next question.
Yeah, no. But they invited me to come and to interact with their members, which I did. I received a notice from a thank you note from the president of the NRA. In fact, yesterday, a personally written note thanking me for being there and supporting them. So I am fully in support of the Second Amendment as an individual right. And you can look on my website. I provide all the documents that say, here's what happened, here's what we did to correct it. And so there you go.
Well, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's
first radio
station.
This is the 5 minute news service on Fox News Radio.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-5436. We're joined by the soon-to-be-departing Monica Hopkins of the ACLU. She's leaving us for Washington, D.C.
Good morning, Kevin. It truly is a bittersweet departure, so thank you for having me on.
A lot of folks, including myself, are not happy about what happened yesterday. Your thoughts on the decision and why is it important, and what do you expect to happen next, ma'am?
Well, you know, the court was right to strike down this discriminatory law, and this ruling is a significant step forward in recognizing full equality. I think Judge Dale's decision, you know, really states it quite clearly that, you know, the state had offered no evidence that same-sex marriage would adversely affect opposite-sex marriages or the well-being of children. And, you know, the justifications that the state made echoed the unsubstantiated fears that, you know, could not prop up anti-miscegenation laws of the 1960s and rigid gender roles of gays in our past. So this ruling really makes it so all loving, committed couples
3 minute stations,
get the recognition
3 minutes to your next Fox News 3030.
Civil rights of marriage provide.
On the other hand, could you look at this as the tyranny of the judiciary, considering that you had 63% of the folks in 2006 define marriage as that between a man and a woman?
No, I actually don't see it as the tyranny of the judiciary.
I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
What I do see it as is the tyranny of the majority, because anytime we put civil rights to a referendum, we have vulnerable populations or the minority who are subject to the tyranny of the majority. And so this is exactly why we do not put civil rights in a referendum.
Well, and again, if you define civil rights by behavior.
It's not defined by behavior here. There are over 1,000 civil rights and responsibilities assigned to the institution that we call marriage. Government is in the marriage business as civil rights.
2 minute stations. Have, you know, 2 minutes to your next Fox News 3030.
Claim to their children together through the institution of marriage. They can have hospital rights. They can have, you know, rights to inherit property without being additionally taxed. So as long as the government attaches over 1,000 civil rights to this institution of marriage, this is a civil rights issue.
So the case moves on to the Ninth Circuit and eventually the Supreme Court, whether they want to or not, will have to deal with this topic.
Well, you know, given all of the cases that are going on across the United States, it seems inevitable. But the next stage in this for us will obviously be to see whether or not the state is granted their stay, which they filed this morning, and we'll see probably before Friday if that happens or not. And so if the
1 minute
granted,
stations,
then the state
1 minute
appeal.
To your next Fox News 3030
money on these things as we go forward.
What do you say to people, though, that disagree with you?
Well, I think it's been borne out in the court cases, including the Supreme Court case that was won in the issue of Windsor, that this is inevitable. And courts keep coming down on the side that this is a constitutional issue. And we may not all agree on that, but as I said, as long as the government attaches over 1,000 civil rights to the institution of marriage, this is a civil rights issue, and so I don't know what else to say.
No, I was going to say, but Windsor really didn't deal with that. Windsor booted it back to California. They punted on it because the California Attorney General didn't defend it, which was his constitutional duty.
No,
and in DOMA, DOMA was the same way.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Thousands evacuated and a state of emergency is declared
Windsor,
in San Diego County, California because of wildfires. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal's there.
The air here is thick with the smell of smoke. You can taste it. I'm at the bottom of a mountain looking up at what authorities called the biggest threat heading into Thursday morning. That's the San Marcos fire. We do know some structures have burned here. This is just...
And Thea passed away from multiple sclerosis. When she inherited that property, she got a bill from the government, the federal government, saying you owe us $300,000. Now, you have the same issues going on here in the state of Idaho where couples are married in other states who legally recognize marriage who reside within our states. And it is unfair that the state does not recognize their marriages. And so if a partner passes away, they have no legal right binding them together.
Well, you know, we heard earlier in the last century, or later in the last century, the civil unions would do that. But the debate will continue, and you and I could go in circles and circles. But I do want to, you know, we never met in person, but whether we agree or not, I admire your passion, and thank you very much for making yourself available. And like I said, watch out for Remy and Frank Underwood and Claire and everyone else. We do wish you well. Anything that you would like to say about what you'll miss about the Treasure Valley, Monica?
You know, I think that I will miss the people of the Treasure Valley, and I really want to thank you for having me on multiple times on your show. I've always enjoyed civilly debating the issue.
Well, thank you, and please come back and visit, and good luck to you, and we're all very proud of you, ma'am.
Great. Thanks so much, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
KIDO, Kevin Miller here, and I've already taken my Vanazapril, or my Bistolic. For those of you that are not familiar with the high blood pressure medication, that's the stuff I'm on. We're at Greenleaf Friends Academy with Pat from Middleton, along with Dave Burnett here for the Manly Man segment. And, Dave, there are very few people in life that can get my goat as Pat from Middleton can.
And he's out there with you?
Oh, he is, and he'll be with me the entire day because he loves Greenleaf Friends Academy, and he's one of these young men that all of a sudden, you know, Pat will say, you'll say to him, "Hey, Pat, how do you like our school's program? When are you going to come out here?" Da, 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 da. For 2 years, I've heard this, so here we are with Pat from Middleton. So
good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Pat. So it's put up or shut up day.
It is. You know, I mean, it took a year and a half to get on this guy's, you know, backside and beat him up.
Yes. If you all
watch
had,
your mouth, Pat.
If you had any idea how long it takes me to get him to do things, holy cow.
I'm surprised you have any hair left. I mean, I've seen your head.
It's got an impressive head of hair like you, Pat.
I know, but I'm surprised he's got any hair left.
So you look at men's hair.
Well, when they're bald, there's a reason why. A lot of them are pulling it out.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. If I might interject, Kevin, you noticed that I have a good head of hair. You yourself just said it. You've been looking at my hair?
And so that's a good point, ladies and gentlemen, and so it begins.
But so Dave, is there a reason why there's like big thick glass between you and Kevin?
Oh, it's not big thick glass. I'm in the bowels of the building in the basement here of the.
Oh, so you hide.
Oh yeah, I'm in the Town Square Media Traffic Center basement bunker.
So you could just turn them off when you want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're interviewing Dave Burnett now on my show.
It's the Manly Man show, right?
Yes, it is, Pat Middleton. And here's another one with Pat. You're going to love this. So I get here, and it's not Kevin. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate you. Thank you, Kappa. Thank you, Ryan. We can't wait to talk to Dave Burnett. The first thing, you're late. I've been here already. I'm actually doing a real job besides yours, Miller. This is the magic of Pat from Middleton here this morning, Dave.
I guess I was just shocked that he was dressed.
I was dressed. What were you expecting?
Wait a second. Dressed businesslike? I mean, you know what he shows up to work at normally, right? I mean, it's the clothes that could stand up in the corner on their own.
So. My pajamas, actually, yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, he does have that radio face that, you know, only the radio could love. So.
Kevin, I'm about to come over to your side to defend you here.
Oh, it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to be a lot worse.
Speaking of the Manly Man segment, very sad news for you.
Oh.
It's been announced by CBS next year, the last year for Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, we. I saw that. Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Is that
please.
Still on? That show's still on?
I guess Pat's doing his shtick as well, Dave. So.
I guess so. But the good news is, Kevin, you do control the mic there.
Yes. Well, you know, I wish I could control Pat. I have tried to control Pat for how many years? 5 years almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've given up controlling Pat. Anyway, back to two. Thank you. Back to Two and a Half Men. 4 years after Charlie Sheen was fired, this will be the last season, and I guess it's going to be an entire season of tear-jerking fun. I did see a clip where Brad Paisley was on there where Alan was going to marry his wife, which I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, you're a fan of Ashton Kutcher. Your thoughts, Dave?
Well, A, I haven't been a fan of this show for a long time. The thing I find fascinating, because and I can't remember the kid's name who was the half back when the thing started.
Yes.
It's been a long time since he even been on the show. He had some very disparaging remarks to say about the content of the show and the direction the show took. I'll be curious to see if they bring him back for the end of it at all.
I wonder if they'll bring back Charlie Sheen for the end of it all.
Get a shovel. Bring him back, because I think he died in the show.
He did die. However, who knows if he'll come back, you know, as a ghost or something like that.
You know how soap operas are. They always figure out a way to bring the dead back.
Kind of like radio.
Evidently, Pat does a lot of time watching soap operas in the afternoon.
He does. He's a Renaissance man, Pat from Middleton.
Look, soap operas.
By the way, Pat from Middleton, you're looking for a woman, aren't you? See, while we're here, we might as well hook him up because... he was begging for dates the last time we had him
see,
on, Dave.
See, Dave, this is why I get on him, because he does this stuff. He called me the international playboy for a long time.
I remember those days, yes.
And he knows how beet red I can get, almost as red as him.
Yes.
So.
Brothers in the Red Tomato Club. Dave, do you have anything to save this segment at all?
You know, I've been trying. I've really been trying, but it's kind of like trying to steer wrestle. You got to grab him by the horns and pull him to the dirt.
Okay.
You know, the town of Greenleaf is one of those towns that made national news when it insisted that it has an ordinance that all homeowners must own their own guns to protect themselves, because they knew that we were so remote out here
remote. I think this is a budding metropolis. You got a gas station.
It's pretty much the same size it's been since I've known of it. But every home has to have a handgun or a gun to protect itself, because it would take a long time for the police. It made national news, so hey, you know, you're in a Second Amendment zone here.
That's reassuring, Pat.
It is. Change the subject.
580 KIDO. Okay, Dave, I'm just going to play something for you, and I just want you to listen to it.
Okay.
And Pat from Middleton with his big slurpee from Jackson's here. This is what our... And a lot of people, we're going to obviously be talking about the schools today, but we will give you in-depth team coverage of the debacle that was the Idaho gubernatorial debate last night. Public television should be ashamed of themselves. This was one of the candidates. By the way, we should be proud. Three of our listeners, Governor Otter, Senator Fulcher, and Walt from Emmett, We're on the stage, so the program is growing. I don't know if Mr. Brown, Harley Brown, was, but this is Mr. Brown's closing statement last night.
Marks.
Well, this has been a great honor. Thank you, Women Voter League of Women Voters, and thank you, Public TV. And
love the articulation.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in to see us in action.
Yes.
Let me finish that story, okay? After God told me he was going to make me president, I went out and got the presidential seal tattooed right here on my shoulder. My morale went from negative 500 off the scale, and I started a presidential campaign right there. I'm a type AA plus guy. And I was living in Fat Jack's cellar because my ex-wife had given me trumped up some restraining orders. I couldn't see my kids. It was a mess.
Tough.
And Fat Jack's old lady,
Fat Jack's old lady.
Wife, said, "Get this lunatic out of my cellar. He's starting a presidential campaign. I'm getting calls from the media and all this." For 3 years, I had the credibility of Chicken Little. You know, the sky is falling. And finally, one day, this bishop from Africa comes over. He says, "I am a prophet of the Most High God." And in that office, I hear, "Authenticate that God told you that." I said, "Yeah, you mind putting that in writing?" He said, "Sure." And he put it in writing, and I got the original at home, and I was able to go up to all my detractors and say, "Na na 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 na." Okay.
Now,
I need practice. Practice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say stuff like, "Sorry if our bombing caused you any inconvenience, so I want to work in the Little League as a governor." And you have your choice, folks. A cowboy, a curmudgeon, a biker, or a normal guy. Take your pick. Thank you very much. We're leaving it up to you.
All right.
Oh, there we have it. That is Harley Brown last night, who stole the show, along with Walt from Emmett. And Walt's closing comments, we're talking about Chernobyl, but we'll get to that. We go to Dave Burnett, the objective one, this morning at 580KIDO.
Well, anyone who's followed Harley's politics for years know that Harley has never been short for words or, I don't want to say buffoonery, but let's audio cleverness. Let's call it that. And a lot of times laced with profanity is Harley Brown.
He was sweating trying not to swear last night.
It would be, yeah, it would, I think the thing would be interesting if you were a candidate running in the race, standing on the stage, trying to keep your focus and hold it together, that'd be very difficult. It would be difficult to do because, number one, you'd be angry at the time being taken for this, you know, time that you have to espouse your issues. But I guess that's what makes America America. Everyone has the right to run. Everyone has the right to their own message.
Pat from Middleton, are you going to vote for Harley Brown? Is he your type of guy?
No. He's not. He's a joke. Dave, hasn't he run like every 4 years for the last 16 or so years?
He's run for governor. I think he's run for Senate seats. He's run for a number of different offices over the years.
And how does he find enough people?
Oh, my gosh. Would you just answer a question? This is an interview, Dave Burnett. Here's the deal. Okay, Pat, since you failed miserably, the bottom line here is we're talking about the future of the Gem State. And a lot of people have been critical of Governor Otter. In fact, when Governor Otter and Senator Fulcher engaged, I thought it was must-see television. Governor Otter, being very charismatic, actually engaged Walt from Emmett a few times when he wasn't talking about taking the plutonium tablets. I'm not kidding when they're talking about the lands issue. And really, you could see the contrast. And some people will be critical of the governor because he insisted on this format. Quite frankly, I think Idaho Public Television would have been better served not to have had this, not to have a debate at all, just because of the, to use Dave's words, I'd probably be a little harsher, buffoonery of the two candidates. Let's go to Walt from Emmett.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Mr. Bayes, your closing remarks.
Okay. Everybody, thanks, everybody, okay?
Yes.
Butch, I'd like to thank you for making it possible for me to be here tonight.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Butch.
He kind of insisted that me and this other unnormal person could be here tonight.
Where's the Star Wars bar?
And now we want to get down to the other things.
I've got 77 dependents.
You remember Chernobyl?
Uh-oh.
Where the Russians had a little problem with their atomic energy?
I read about it.
Chernobyl, when you translate that into English, it comes out wormwood. Wormwood is mentioned in the Bible a whole lot for your study in these last days, and it's radiation.
Just a good old boy.
They gave those people that work there, something called potassium iodide. And it plugs up your thyroid gland to where it won't take this radiation in.
And we learned something new today.
And those people didn't get it. They didn't have the effects.
Maybe you'll
and
get it.
What I'm telling you, the bottle's good for 20 years, and I'd rather have it 20 years early than 5 minutes late. When that little deal happened in Japan, just like that, you couldn't buy it. You couldn't find any anywhere. And another thing you want to know is our energy plants that's run by Atomic, they can stand 1/15th of an earthquake like that one in Japan.
Quit screaming.
And my Bible says they're going to get worse and worse and worse. We better get us some, folks.
All right.
Pat from Middleton, let's redeem yourself.
Well, he even thanked Butch Otter for allowing that to happen. So I wonder if this was...
Are you running for office?
No.
Are you going to vote for this guy?
No. Why would I vote for him? I mean, you know, he's got issues that go far beyond what even concerns our state.
You know he has 16 kids, 8 boys and 8 girls, 77 descendants.
That's fantastic.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. My grandparents have a lot of descendants
as
well.
Oh, what is this, Topwalt from Emmett?
No, I'm just saying. He's not his issues that he's talking about Chernobyl has nothing to do with it.
We're going to have issues. I'm being rude to Dave Burnett. I'm sorry, Dave Burnett.
What?
Walt from Emmett.
You know, I have to say the same thing again. I mean, it's just, thank goodness for America. Everybody has a right to run and say what they want. But, you know, the thing is, what you say, you'll be hung by your own words or you'll be elevated by your own words. I guess these two candidates feel they have a message to get out there, and so that's their message. So people have the right to vote for that or not. How's that for being diplomatic?
No, it is being diplomatic, but Chernobyl, really?
I guess that's the biggest issue that he's got. So that's where the voters get to vote. I do have to do this, though. 5:53? Thank goodness. Your traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Kevin Miller with you from Greenleaf Friends Academy in Greenleaf, Idaho. We are rolling right along, promoting our schools, securing our future. We will be joined by our celebrity co-host today, Pat from Middleton. Let's get you to traffic. 580KIDO, we continue on. We'll hear from the folks here at Greenleaf Academy, Greenleaf Friends Academy. We'll also talk about last night's gubernatorial debate. Oh, it's going to be entertaining, folks. Good morning. Serving.